Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Acts, and this is chapter 21 with 40 verses, translation and commentary, and also part 14 of Spiritual Warfare. We have a couple of letters, and right now let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask him to pour out his anointing spirit upon the message this morning. Lord God, you've given us the inward anointing. You've given us spiritual, permanent, immortal life. This is available only through you, because you are God, and only you, God, have permanent life. And you stated that this life comes to us via Jesus, our Lord and Savior. There's one mediator to the throne of God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. All the cults that say that there is some other way or truth or life are liars and are of Satan, according to your word and according to the 41 years that I have spent in the gospel field, I found this to be absolutely 100% the truth. Lord, we ask, I know that when I was in the ministry that I wasn't really able to minister that much until I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit from you, Father, that is the outward anointing. I received eternal life, the Spirit of life in me, but only when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit was I able to really do a job for you, to surrender enough to you to where you could do the job of ministering through me to others. And I pray, Lord, that you pour out a heavy anointing upon me this morning, that you open up every heart, soul, mind, and strength, every part of everyone's being to receive the strength of your word in them, to give them more fully the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know, Lord, that no one person is able to have the full stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ comes from our being one in the body. The fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ happens to be the full corporate body of Christ. That is what the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ means. And until we recognize the body life, the church life, the New Jerusalem life, we will never, outside of the body, become to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And therefore, Lord, we ask that you cause everyone to know this, because today so many people are living individual lives thinking that outside the church they are able to become full with your spirit and reach the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must always remember that the body of Christ is the corporate body of Christ, all of us together. And only are we able to reach the fullness, or your body is able to reach its fullness, is when we are operating as an entire unit. One body, one spirit, one God, one Christ, one purpose. Lord, we ask that everyone learn that and abide in that. We are not to be separate. Now, we know that also the Antichrist, the body of Antichrist, is saying that both Christ and also the Antichrist should merge together as one. But, Lord, you said that the body of Christ is separate, away from all religions, away from the Antichrist regime. And when that happens and we all stand together as one unit, and we're supporting the entire body of Christ, not the religious fervor that we see today, the Antichrist religious fervor, but when we stand together as a separate corporate body of Christ, then and only then will the body of Christ reach its fullness. This is the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must grow to the fullest we can of Christ, and we cannot do that unless we enjoy and partake in the membership of the body of Christ, so that all of us together become the fullness. In Jesus' name we pray that people will receive this, Father, and this message today in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now let's hear letter number one. Or this is an email, and we don't actually, we're not permitted to tell where the, well, I guess they didn't tell where it's coming from. We have an email address on them. Because they want to, just heard the letter, the email, and they said they wanted to move into the, into our place of worship. And so I know that it's from overseas somewhere, but go ahead and read it anyway.
Beloved Pastor Alamo, I have just received my first newsletter and tracts, and want to thank you very much. We have decided to translate these into the local languages for distribution and soul winning. I thank the Lord for your life in using you to transform the lives of millions around the world. God picked you up for this special purpose, and I pray for enlargement for your ministry.
You know, the Bible says just before, it's in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, we must be the fullness of the body of Christ. It tells us that we must know the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of Christ. And that can only happen not in just us as individuals, but it must happen to us as an entire unit. Amen?
Amen.
That's the fullness of the stature, the height, the depth, the breadth, and the width. Praise the Lord. It's all there. That scripture is mentioned only once in the Bible, the fullness of the stature of Christ, and it talks about the height, the depth, the width and the breadth of the combined corporate body of Christ. That is the fullness of Christ. So let's continue on here.
I find your testimony both soul-stirring and bone-shaking, and it is really a sign of the times indeed. Joel 2:28-29.
So when people say that they can serve the Lord outside of the church, they are highly misinformed by Satan. You cannot live apart from the body of Christ any more than a branch can live apart from the tree that it was yanked out of or that it fell off of. It will wither and die, and so will you if you're not partaking in the full body of Christ. And this is why it's so demonic to see a lot of Christian churches just acting antisocial one to another. We must meld into one another. And this is what the Antichrist is saying, that all religions and all the body of Christ should meld into them. But of course, Christ calls for a strict separation between them. We are one body. Many members making the body of Christ full. All those of us that believe what the scriptures say. And if I hadn't seen Christ and all the mighty visions and signs and wonders, and if I didn't know the Word of God, I would be more than likely swayed into this big falling away of the body, into this body of Antichrist, just like so many others are. But I thank and praise the Lord for giving me signs, wonders, visions, and dreams to in His mercy, because He knows that I would also be merciful and tell others of the different visions, dreams, signs, and wonders that I have received from Him, and give you people in the world a clear, direct direction on exactly how to live the church life, the body life, the New Jerusalem life, the Bride of Christ life. the building life, the temple of God life. You're the temple of the Lord. You have no business outside the body of Christ. These are the directions from God himself. Do what God says and live. Okay, now let's continue with this letter.
However, the most shocking thing I have ever read in recent times is your tract on the Catholic Church. This is a church that is everything demonic and depraved, both in doctrine and practice, and it hurts me to see that this man of sin destroys millions of souls in the name of church.
Yeah, well, this man of sin is Antichrist, and they too are a corporate body of people that refuse to believe the truth of the word of the Lord. They believe the Antichrist doctrine, which is actually, the Bible says that this doctrine comes from that great red dragon, the devil. All right, so we can't do that. All right, then what?
Your article is an eye-opener, and billions should be printed and circulated worldwide.
Well, we would print billions of them. We've been putting out hundreds of millions, but we would do even more billions if the body of Christ would get joined together with us here to the fullness of the stature of Christ and start supporting the body of Christ rather than the body of Antichrist. Send your tithes and offerings, beloved, those of you that are really of the Lord, and we'll get the billions out. We'll get them out. Just send your tithes and offerings so God can bless you. It'll be a lot different, too, if you are supporting the true work of God rather than the Antichrist. Then you say, well, we sent money and so on, we don't get blessed. Maybe it's because you're supporting the body of Antichrist rather than the body of Christ. Try supporting the body of Christ and see what happens. Christ becomes extremely angry with people that are supporting Antichrist. You would too if you were God. And if you belong to God, you'd be upset knowing that you've been deceived into supporting Antichrist rather than the fullness of the stature of the body of Christ. You could be part of the fullness of the stature of Christ, but you certainly are not going to be the fullness of the stature of Christ by yourself. No one is able to do that. We only become full when the body of Christ is full. All right, then what?
Please continue to uncover the sins of not only the Catholic Church, but any others, so that people should know the truth and make an informed decision. We are really in perilous times, but only the truth can set the people free.
This is true. And then what?
God bless you and strengthen you to continue his work. I am due to visit the United States soon and would love to spend some time at your ministry. However, I would appreciate if you could please send me an invitation. This could be sent through email so I could receive it wherever I may be. In his service, E.A. from Gospel Faith Revival.
All right, I'm directing those of you that are in the office to send our standard letter of invitation to this person. All right, and then where's the next letter from?
From Uganda.
All right.
Dear beloved brother, Tony Lamo, World Pastor, lovely greetings and blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My daily prayer request for you is that let us stand together in prayer, preaching and teaching the Word of God for drawing human lost souls to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may the Lord Jesus Christ pour out his mercy on you and protect you from all attacks and tricks of the enemy. Thank you for continuing to think of and remember me. I want to thank and appreciate you for putting me on your mailing list so that I will continue to receive copies of your publications, the Lord's Gospel Literature, World Newsletters, Bibles, and for free distribution.
See, I'd like to interject something here because the Lord is telling me to. It's amazing how the Satan and his corporate body, the Antichrist, which is one body of millions, hundreds of millions, maybe billions of people, how they have a fraternity, brotherhood. They stick together. They're like cohesive. They are glued together for one purpose, and that is to destroy the church, the body of Christ. And, of course, that cannot be. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we would be wise as the serpent and harmless as doves? and become one unit, to be where we become the fullness of the stature of Christ, and we support one another and support the ones that you can see that are getting the message out to the entire world. Wouldn't that be a warm, wonderful, and wildly glorious thing for you to do? Wouldn't that be nice if you'd communicate one to another to where the Lord could certainly call you one of his gems? Wouldn't that be wonderful, so that you could do these things, so that you could face the Lord on the final day and have him say to you, "Come in, my good and faithful servant, well done." That's what anybody that knows the Word of God wants to hear the Lord say when they're there at the gates of the kingdom of God, where Christ greets you there and says, "Come in, my good and faithful servant," rather than, "Depart from me, you wicked. I never knew you. You were not part of my body. You were not part of my church. You were not part of my bride. You were not part of me at all. I knew you not. You thought that you could serve me your own way, when I plainly state that you are to serve me according to my will and the Father's will." The prayer is, "Thy kingdom come, thy God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Not your will or my will, but God's will. And God's will is that we become full of the stature of Christ, that we become one body, one unit, supporting each other. Not monetarily, just monetarily. I mean, this is what all the other preachers talk about. But in spirit, and encouraging one another, as you hear these letters encouraging me, because I, through my the Lord through me, has encouraged them and has strengthened them through the messages that the Lord has given me. And hopefully these messages are strengthening you. And hopefully you're not angry with the Word of God, because the Bible says that we're to be angry, but not at him. "But sin not. Be ye angry, but sin not." If you're angry with the Lord, then, you know, there's another side to the Lord that most preachers don't preach, and that the Lord gets angry. And if you get angry at him, he plainly states in his word that he'll be angry with you. If you reject him, he said he'll reject you. As a matter of fact, if you're even a Christian and you're not zealous to become one in the corporate body of Christ, he says, "I'll spit you out of my mouth. I'll spew you out of my mouth." So the Lord, in his kindness, is warning you what kind of a God he is. He's a God that spits former Christians that are not full of zeal to do everything that he says out of his mouth, out of his body. So be warned. Be cautioned. Beware. Beware how you hear. Listen, hear the word of God. "You that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." He wants us to meld in together, to support one another, because there isn't one church going to be in the kingdom of heaven that is a part of the body of Christ and the other one's not. If we're going to make it, we must make it together as one unit. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so that's what the Bible really says. The height, the depth, the width, and the breadth, the fullness of the stature of Christ. The book of Ephesians, read it in chapter 4. All right, let's continue on with this letter.
"Also, I want to thank you and appreciate you for allowing me to be part of the Lord's compassionate soul-winning team by helping distribute the Lord's gospel literature. I am delighted to let you know that I received the Lord's gospel literature, Mass Suicide. I prayerfully distributed the Lord's gospel literature, Mass Suicide, I received from you to those who wanted to read them during our recent organized crusade and seminar, which took place from May 4th through the 8th of 2005 at Oaxaca Township Center."
See, isn't this wonderful? Here, all these different people throughout the world are joining in with my church, Is it my church? No, it's the Lord's church. But we're all joining in together, and we're fighting the good fight of faith, legitimately fighting according to spiritual warfare. We're in supporting each other spiritually. We're supporting each other with encouragement. We're getting the gospel out to the world, the unsaved world. We're edifying each other. This is spiritual warfare, and we're praying for one another. And we're praying that souls will be saved. That's spiritual warfare. That's the exact opposite of what Satan wants us to do. And we're joining together so that we become a cohesive, one body of people, members of one body of Christ. So now we can see the fullness of the stature of Christ coming together now. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't it better to fellowship with brothers and sisters all together?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
As one unit.
Amen.
I mean, this is the way it's supposed to be. All right, let's go.
As a result of distributing your tract, Mass Suicide, testimonies were coming to me from those who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their hearts through reading your literature. In the last 2 weeks, I have recorded 30 new converts who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in their hearts. They are requesting for Bibles, glory be to God. I am therefore requesting you kindly send to me, if possible, the used Word of God to give out to these faithful new converts and others who want to read the Word of God and share with others who are faithfully committed to serving the Lord Jesus Christ in winning the lost souls to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please, I request you kindly send me more of your publications, the Lord's Gospel Literature, so that they may help me in winning the lost souls to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, and when these souls get saved, it's spiritual warfare to take these young souls that just got saved and bring them up into the body of Christ, into the fullness of the stature of Christ, for this is how the fullness of the stature of Christ comes about, is when we nourish with the Word of God the young Christians to where they want to be in the church. I don't hear of the people that are newborn Christians in the Old or New Testament saying, well, we have to get basketball courts and swimming pools for all of them to encourage them to stay into the church, because this is not spiritual, this is carnal warfare. These are weapons that are carnal. People, we should encourage them in being interested in that their souls become full of the stature of Christ so that they can be members of the fullness of the body of Christ. All these different inducements, people, we got big motion picture theaters and we're doing all these different things. When in reality, you know, I come from a little town in Montana. I remember when I was a small child that we moved from Joplin, Missouri, where I was born, and my brother Danny was born, and we went to Windham, Montana. Now, I don't think the population was more than 20 people, 15 or 20 people there. I understand that it's one of the best places to hunt elk in that area, but there were no street lights there or nothing, and it just, I spent a couple of years there, and at nighttime you'd really have to have a flashlight or a lantern to get around in town there, and there's wolves around and all sorts of things like that. It made me to know that all these lights, when I got older and I went to major cities, that these lights are nothing but facades, because you take all those lights away like it is in Windham and you're in a very dark world. And so there isn't anything really that you have then except you and God and nature. And there isn't anything out in the world that amounts to anything. When I was out there and in the Montana area for years, we didn't have television, and there was no detractions at all, and so it gives you a lot of time to meditate and think, and I felt the presence of the Lord on two different occasions, but I didn't know it was the Lord. I kind of suspected that it was, but it was hard for me to believe that there was a God and that he really knew everything that we think. One day I was in Windham, the it was just a gentle breeze, and it was so beautiful outside, and I was just maybe 5 or 6 years old. And I heard a voice in the wind. It was like in the wind mentioning my name. And it whispered, and it was the most beautiful voice. And I was looking. There was a house about a half mile away, and it had storm windows on the house, and my grandmother's house, and there was nobody around. And so I know now that it was the Lord. And then one time in Helena, Montana, I used to get up in the morning to deliver papers, the Helena Independent Record, and it was very cold out, and there was snow packed on the ground and ice everywhere. And I looked up at the stars, and it was like looking into a jewelry case of more brightness and more glitter than diamonds. You know, God is a God of glitter. He has the sun, the moon, the stars that glitter. And I just thought, oh, how beautiful. And it was so cold, and I felt a very warm smile coming down, and it warmed me up, and it frightened me. And I just put my head down real fast, not looking at the stars anymore. And those two things happened to me. And then I was speeding one day from San Bernardino early in the morning towards L.A., and there was a turn there, and I don't see that well. And all of a sudden, this wall, I was going about 100 miles an hour. That's the way I always used to travel. I don't drive any longer. And but I thought, this is the end. I was maybe 20 feet from that wall, and I thought, well, I'll just press on the brakes just in case. I pressed on those brakes, and it felt like the car was picked up and turned to the right, and I went sailing down the highway that way. And there are many other experiences that I can tell you that happened to me before I was saved. I just thought I was very lucky that day. But it was the Lord sparing my life, because He knew that when I knew Him, that I would do my utmost to get the gospel to everybody in the world. And I just pray that everyone that hears this broadcast will join in with me. I can't do it alone. There's so much. I have such a hungry appetite to get the gospel out to everybody in the world. And I just pray to God that you'll help me do that by sending in your tithes and offerings. Not to buy more radio time or anything like that. We're paying for our own radio time. We work, and we believe that if you don't work, you don't eat. You're not supposed to eat. And that's because the Bible says that. And so I work every day of my life. And how could you possibly give tithes and offerings to the Lord if you didn't work and make money? And how could you support your wives and children? You'd become worse than an infidel if you didn't do that. So the Bible doesn't condemn working with your hands. The Apostle Paul did. He was a tent maker. And you work too. And come on, let's get busy and support the entire body of Christ so that the fullness of Christ can eventuate here before the Lord comes back to earth. He's coming back real soon, so there's only a short period of time that you're going to be able to really support the body of Christ and do what the Lord says. If you don't do what He says, then you're not going to be part of the fullness of the stature of Christ. You won't be able to build up the body of Christ as the Bible tells us that we are supposed to do. All right, then what?
Dear Brother Tony Alamo, World Pastor, if this be your will, I would like to hear and get your reply, as it gives me joy to see that your publications, the Lord's Gospel Literatures and Bibles, are placed in the hands of people who want to read them, the Word of God, the Bible. I will be very grateful if these requests are granted for Christ and His kingdom. With love and best wishes in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Brother F.M. from Uganda, Africa.
Do you have any idea how many people need this literature and Bibles? There's approximately 5 to 6 billion people on earth that need it, and it's for sure there isn't any one segment of Christ's body here that can do that. We have to do it as an entire body. So, you know, stop being jealous. If you're part of this work, if you help get the gospel out through this work here, you're part of that work, and you're going to get the very same reward that I and everyone else in this ministry receives, because we all receive the fullness of Christ. We all receive, we all become heirs and joint heirs of everything that God in Christ owns. So, you know, don't be jealous, because that's the wrong attitude. Become part of Christ. Become part of everything that he owns. And not because we're doing it because of that, but be happy and full of joy, because you know that everyone that you're responsible for winning their souls is going to thank you eternally. When they walk down the streets of glory, they'll know who you are and how you supported this work, which is the work of Christ, and they'll thank you. You'll be thanked eternally for it. So, all right, now let's get into chapter 21 of the book of Acts.
Paul's journey to Jerusalem, King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Coos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. Verse 2. And finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenice, we went aboard and set forth. Verse 3. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden.
All right, now there are 40 verses in the 21st chapter of Acts, so let's start and continue on in the translation, because probably everybody is reading from their King James version anyway. All right, go ahead.
Paul's journey to Jerusalem, translation, verse 1. After saying farewell to the Ephesian elders, we sailed straight to the island of Kos. The next day we reached Rhodes, then went to Patara. Verse 2. There we boarded a ship sailing for the Syrian province of Phoenicia. Verse 3. We sighted the island of Cyprus, passing on our left, and landed at the harbor of Tyre in Syria, where the ship was to unload. Verse 4. We went on shore, found the local believers, and stayed with them a week. These disciples prophesied through the Holy Spirit that Paul should not go on to Jerusalem. Verse 5.
Do you know how much people are missing by not fellowshipping with all the brothers and all the sisters? Here it is, he gets on this one island and meets up with the brothers and sisters there, and here they're, because of the fact that he believes in fellowshipping with the entire body of Christ, they're warning him of things that could happen to him if he doesn't follow what the Holy Spirit tells him to do. Amen?
Amen.
There's so many things that the Lord wants to tell you and to tell us all. Just look at the wonderful things that people tell us that are happening from all over the world by communicating to us. And I pray that you will communicate with us also. If you want your name read on the... Because of the fact that they haven't allowed, they didn't say that we could use their name on the air, we just keep that confidential. But if anyone wanted, and it's not a shame to have their name mentioned on the air, we'll be more than happy to do that. But just look at how greatly it edifies the entire body of Christ. I've had hundreds of people tell me, and I'm usually confined inside because of the fact that that's what the Lord told me, that if I wanted to have the gift of communicating through writing, that I'd have to be, I wouldn't be able to go outside much. I'd be confined mainly to the house or to wherever I'll be recording, and I agreed to that. And that very day I wrote, he gave me my first piece of literature, and that was Guilty by Association, how that people, if they associated with Satan in any way, that they're going to be found guilty at the judgment bar of God by, because they have associated themselves with Satan. But look at how wonderful this is, where Paul is here on this island, and the first thing he'd do is not seek out where all the sinful palaces are, but he'd want to find out where the brothers and sisters are. Amen?
Amen.
Because if you do that, But then you keep your soul fat, your spirit completely filled with the Holy Spirit and power of God, so that there's no chance of you falling away. And, you know, really, what does it amount to anyway? It just amounts to death, hell, and the lake of fire by being interested in the things of this world, the things that people run to sin in. All right, let's continue on.
Verse 5. When we returned to the ship at the end of the week, the entire congregation, including wives and children, came down to the shore with us.
See, in other words, all these brothers and sisters and their children came down to send them off. Amen?
Amen.
So we've got people, we've got family, spirit-filled family all over the world. And we need to get together and communicate together, all right? Because there's so many great testimonies that I believe win people's souls. Just like it's so wonderful that the writer, which many people say is Luke, that marked all these things down in the book of Acts. Amen?
Amen.
All right, it's a continuation of that book. Then what?
There we now prayed, verse 6, and said our farewells. Then we went aboard, and they returned home. Verse 7, the next stop after leaving Tyre was Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters, but stayed only one day.
See, they went there, and there was brothers and sisters there. And he edified them, and they, you know, made him feel good that it's wonderful to be a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
There's a brotherhood there that the Bible talks about that we need to partake in today, because we're the minority, and there's great power as we all get together with the fullness. We become the fullness of the stature of Christ, and the kingdom of heaven is more possible to be established here on earth by us doing so. All right, then what?
Verse 8. Then we went on to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip, the evangelist.
There is some more brothers and sisters there. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
One of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food. Verse 9. He had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. Verse 10. During our stay of several days, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. Verse 11. When he visited us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands with it. Then he said, quote, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Romans, unquote.
See, Paul didn't get that message directly from the Lord. It was a brother that gave that message to him. Amen?
Amen.
And so that goes to show that even the Apostle Paul didn't know everything, and none of us do know everything unless we become... unless we believe firmly that it's most valuable to be one in the to be the fullness, to endeavor to be the fullness of the stature of Christ in the one body, then we become so powerful. It's unspeakable. There are no words to explain it. Then what?
Verse 12. When we heard this, we who were traveling with him as well as the local believers begged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. Verse 13.
See, they begged him because they really had some strong messages from the Lord. Okay, then what?
Verse 13. But he said, quote, why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart! Exclamation point. For I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but also to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus.
I know, see, but that's Paul's opinion there. Of course he's ready. We're all ready to go and die and so on. But why would the Lord be warning him if he didn't mean for him to heed that warning? Amen?
Amen.
So he just wanted to die. To me, it seems like that was like almost a suicide. Because here, all these people that are a part of the corporate body of Christ are warning him not to go. And he says, oh, I'm willing to go. You know, why all this weeping? Weeping because you're not letting it sink in, Paul, right?
Right.
To heed the warning of the Lord, because maybe the Lord wants him to be around a little bit more. Maybe he would have written a half a dozen or a dozen more books or more. All right? Mm-hmm. Then what? So the body, we have to listen to these prophecies that come to others We have to check them out to make sure they're from the Lord. But anyway, go ahead.
Verse 14. When it was clear that we couldn't persuade him, we gave up and said, quote, the will of the Lord be done, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Paul arriving at Jerusalem. Verse 15.
The will of the Lord was that he didn't go. Otherwise, he wouldn't prophesy. But that's just a saying that a lot of people say, you can warn them about the wrath to come, and they just say, well, God's will be done. And then they just go on and do whatever they want. Not the will of the Lord, but what they want to do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that isn't God's will, to do the opposite of what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. Then what?
Verse 15. Shortly afterward, we packed our things and left for Jerusalem. Verse 16. And some believers from Caesarea accompanied us, and they took us to the home of Mnason, a man originally from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. Verse 17. All of the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem welcomed us cordially. Verse 18. The next day, Paul went in with us to meet with James, and all the elders of the Jerusalem church were present.
See, here's again, everywhere they go, there's believers. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that the fullness of the stature of Christ? Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 19. After greetings were exchanged, Paul gave a detailed account of the things God had accomplished among the Gentiles through his ministry. Verse 20. After hearing this, they praised God, but then they said, quote, you know, dear brother, how many thousands of Jews have also believed, and they all take the law of Moses very seriously. Verse 21. Our Jewish Christians here at Jerusalem have been told that you are teaching all the Jews living in the Gentile world to turn their backs on the laws of Moses. They say that you teach people not to circumcise their children or follow other Jewish customs. Verse 22. Now what can be done? For they will certainly hear that you have come. Verse 23. Here's our suggestion. We have four men here who have taken a vow and are preparing to shave their heads. Verse 24. Go with them to the temple and join them in the purification ceremony and pay for them to have their heads shaven. Then everyone will know that the rumors are all false and that you yourself observe the Jewish laws. Verse 25. As for the Gentile Christians, all we ask of them is what we already told them in a letter. They should not eat food offered to idols, nor consume blood, nor...
You notice where it said they should not eat food. Now remember, unclean, like hogs, and horses, that's not food. Those are scavengers. They're used for dogs, cats, that's not food. Crabs, clams, lobsters, those are not food. It says, thou shalt not eat food. And God tells us what food is. The herbs of the field, fruit of trees, and the garden, vegetables, and fruit, things like that. Plus, he tells us chickens and turkeys and quail, pheasants, and certain of the fishes, fish that have scales and fins are edible. And he goes into great detail on that. So it's talking about thou shalt not eat food offered unto idols. Amen.
Amen.
It's food he's talking about. What God says is food. All right, then what?
They should not eat food offered to idols, nor consume blood, nor eat meat from strangled animals, and they should stay away from all sexual immorality, unquote. Paul arrested, verse 26. So Paul agreed...
Just as the brethren told him. Amen?
Amen.
He will be bound. So that's why you need to be in the body of Christ. The fullness of the stature. Then what?
Verse 26. So Paul agreed to their request. The next day he went through the purification ritual with the men and went to the temple. Then he publicly announced the date when their vows would end and sacrifices would be offered for each one of them. Verse 27. The 7 days were almost ended. Then some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul in the temple and roused a mob against him. They grabbed him, verse 28, yelling, quote, men of Israel, exclamation point, help, exclamation point, this is the man who teaches against our people and tells everybody to disobey the Jewish laws. He speaks against the temple, and he even defiles it by bringing Gentiles in, exclamation point, unquote. Verse 29, for earlier that day they had seen him in the city with Trophimus, a Gentile from Ephesus, and they assumed Paul had taken him into the temple. Verse 30. The whole population of the city was rocked by these accusations, and a great riot followed. Paul was dragged out of the temple, and immediately the gates were closed behind him. Verse 31. As they were trying to kill him, word reached the commander of the Roman regiment that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. Verse 32. He immediately called out his soldiers and officers and ran down among the crowd. When the mob saw the commander and the troops coming, they stopped beating Paul. Verse 33. The commander arrested him and ordered him bound with two chains. Then he asked the crowd what he had done. Verse 34. Some said he did one thing and some another. He couldn't find out the truth in all the uproar and confusion, so he ordered Paul to be taken to the fortress. Verse 35. As they reached the stairs, the mob grew so violent the soldiers had to lift Paul to their shoulders to protect him. Verse 36. And the crowd followed behind, shouting, quote, "Kill him! Kill him!" exclamation point, unquote. Paul speaks to the crowd. Verse 37. As Paul was about to be taken inside, he said to the commander, quote, "May I have a word with you?" "Do you know Greek?" the commander asked, surprised. Verse 38. "Aren't you the Egyptian who led a rebellion some time ago and took 4,000 members of the assassins out into the desert?" unquote. Verse 39. Quote, "No," Paul replied. "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, which is an important city. Please let me speak to these people." Verse 40. The commander agreed, so Paul stood on the stairs and motioned to the people to be quiet. Soon a deep silence enveloped the crowd when he addressed them in their own language, Aramaic.
All right, now that's chapter 21 of Acts, and let's do the commentary now.
Chapter 21, verses 7 through 9. The last recorded event involving the apostle Philip had taken place some 25 years earlier while he traveled to Caesarea, chapter 8, verse 40. After that time, Philip had not only a continuing ministry, but also a godly family with four daughters who had the gift of prophecy. Philip had instilled in them his faith in Christ and God's power for life and the ministry. So this indicates that Christianity, which is no new thing, because Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world, had the power to transform lives on a permanent basis. Philip demonstrated the kind of perseverance and fruitfulness we, being in the same body of Christ as he was, need to allow the Lord to work in and through us so that people can be saved. This is something that some people call a program. It's not a program. It's the Spirit of God living in and through us. Chapter 21, verses 18 through 26. Paul had been falsely accused of encouraging Jews to live a Gentile lifestyle, so the Apostle James suggested that Paul participate in a special vow to show the Jews that he was still a believer in the law. The Apostle Paul's love for his Jewish brothers and sisters led him to do what he could to remove anything that might destroy the faith of a Jewish believer. Thus the Apostle Paul followed James's advice and participated in a temple service. Like Paul, there are many times that we need to show people that we believe in the Old Testament as well as the New. The Old Testament is a figure showing us what the New Testament will be. Then when we get to the New Testament, we see that the entire Old Testament was 100% right, and that this truly is the New Testament because the Old Testament told us what the New Testament must be. So we see that we need to sometimes, when we're encouraging people to become saved, we need to learn to give up some of the things that we want to do so that we can do things that we don't want to do in order to save some people, just for the sake of others. This is the way that we discover the joy of serving God and His people.
All right. Now let's go into the 14th part of spiritual warfare.
The same principle applies in edifying the saints. If we lose the position of ascension, there's no way that we can apply or help the saints. If the messages we preach are mere doctrines, and the fellowship we give are mere knowledge containing no element of warfare, the most we are able to impart is teachings for the mentality and stirring in the emotions.
What I'm saying is that if we're not partaking in spiritual warfare by edifying the church like I'm doing right now, and telling you what the Bible says so that you can grasp it and then can do the work of the Lord, you're not involved. If you're not praying, you're not involved in spiritual warfare. And if you're not, you're letting the devil do whatever he pleases to do through his spirit in this world, and in the spirit in this world that is in billions of other people that are part of the corporate body of Antichrist. So by us preaching to these people and teaching them, as well as edifying the church so there can be more of us doing the same thing, we're bringing about the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And by doing that, we are able to save maybe billions of souls that are now part of the body of Antichrist by ignorance. Okay, then what? So we must stay in an ascended position in order for us to be able to have the power, or to be able to have the power to not be led into the world. Now, to some people, it doesn't make any difference how much you preach to them or teach them. They're worldly, and they just think they're smarter than anyone else. We just had two more people in our church that just passed away. And when God knows that you're just not receiving what he says, you're going to have some dreaded disease happen to you, or you're going to be killed. That's just the way it is. And I know that people don't believe that. They just say, oh, you're using fear tactics on us. But we've seen it hundreds and hundreds of times, and there's literally thousands of times in the world that that happens. Like the Jews rejected Christ, and look at what happened to them in World War II. The Lord allowed 6 million of them to be burnt in ovens. And this has been going on for years. King Titus destroyed Israel, Jerusalem, and just took women, Jewish women, disbelievers that were pregnant, and ripped them open and threw their babies against walls. And they still thought, oh no, this is just coincidence. And the tsunamis and the earthquakes, people are, they're just living peacefully and doing things in their houses with their minds totally on something worldly, and then an earthquake happens and they're smashed. We saw in the newspaper an automobile that the rear end of it sticking out when one of those overpasses fell down and smashed the person into pulp, and just the rear end of his car. And a police officer was driving along the freeway, and part of the freeway collapsed, and his motorcycle couldn't stop it in time. He just ran off and fell several 40, 50 feet unto his death. And hundreds of thousands of people killed instantly in earthquakes, but they didn't expect anything was going to happen whatsoever. As a matter of fact, you may be sitting in towers like in New York, and if a big earthquake hits there and those towers come down, or maybe a couple of airplanes will crash in to the World Trade Center with, yeah, you're all just in there just conducting business as per usual, and then all of a sudden you never realize that that was the day you're going to die. And the Lord can pull the breath out of you anytime he wants anyway, and so it doesn't really make any difference. When he wants you, he's going to get you. And it won't make any difference. You can't run inside the house and hide under the bed from God, because you think you're getting away from him, and he'll be right under the bed with you. He'll be there before you get there. He knows where you're going to hide. Okay, then what?
You cannot deliver people out of the power of Satan and turn them to God in a practical way. Therefore, if you want your work to have the effect of war, work which is able to deliver men from Satan, you must keep the position of ascension and live continually in the condition of the heavens. This is an extremely important secret. It is a must.
All right. Praise the Lord. That was chapter 21 of the book of Acts. And that was part 14 of Spiritual Warfare. And you've heard a couple of letters. And until tomorrow, where we'll be doing chapter 22 of the book of Acts and part 15 of Spiritual Warfare, this is Pastor Tony Alamo telling you or warning you from the wrath to come. Put on the whole mind of Christ and be filled with his spirit, be filled with his word, because his word is spirit and life, so that you can and stay ascended in spiritual warfare and keep edifying the church. Keep praying always as the Lord has commanded you to do, and witness today. Keep witnessing. If you don't know how to witness, then get a bundle of my the literature that you know by testimonials here. I have won millions of souls And until tomorrow, God bless you and praise the Lord.